You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. We are now two parts into a three-part reunion, and if it goes that each week is more dramatic than the next, then next week is going to be wild, because last night was definitely more dramatic than I expected, and definitely more dramatic than the first reunion. All of us ladies talked about how it was kind of mild for a reunion last week, but I don't think you'll agree with me this week. Joining me are my two favorite co-hosts, both in New York as well, Pamela Peckerman and Jackie Moran. Hi, ladies. How are you, girls?
Hey, Mom.
Well, hello there. We are fabulous, and well, I'm speaking for you, Pamela, but I am fabulous, and I can't wait to discuss this reunion, because as you just said, Mari, part two got juicy, much juicier than last week. Totally agree.
I mean, what was in the Kool-Aid? What are they drinking? I feel like I didn't recognize anybody yesterday, and I think maybe you ladies will agree.
This is what I'm going to tell you was the Kool-Aid. This was the big difference from part one to part two of why it was so dramatic, and it's one word, and it's B-R-A-N-D-I, Brandy.
I love it. You have to spell her name out, almost like her name is a curse word at this point, because she's just voted most curse words, most bleeps, cursing at everybody. I think either way, I just love her, and I think she's hilarious, and she brings to the show what we want to see out of the show in a good way, not in like a Taylor way. So I can't wait to talk about her.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask your guys your opinion of Brandy. Pamela, I'm curious what you think. Because some viewers, just based off what I was reading today, some people love her because she's honest and she's frank and she tells it like it is and she says what everyone's thinking but won't say. But some people are really offended by her and really don't like her. So I don't know. Where do you stand on this, Pamela, and then Jackie?
I would say that I was not on the Brandy bandwagon when it rolled into season two. That being said, I think she is, for lack of a better word, she is real. She is giving this a real reality show. I mean, there were so many one-liners. I know we're going to go through a bunch of them, but Brandyisms. And she really says what's on your mind. She says it, you know, dry, not holding back. She's going to give it to you just the full sentence. There's not going to be sort of a pedaling back, oh, I meant this, I meant that. It's like, no, I meant this. You're a slut, you're not, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I love that about her. So I think I'm on Team Brandy now. I'm not saying I love her. I'm just saying I like her as a cast member on the show, and I think she brings the realness to the show. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the thing that I love about Brandy the most is that she, first of all, believe it or not, I agree with her opinions more than maybe anybody else's on the panel last night. She was calling things out exactly as she sees them. I had to agree with her on a lot of points. And, you know, she may not be somebody I would walk down the street and be friends with, but watching her as a cast member, I totally agree. She is very real, I think, at this point. Not sure how it would continue, but I think she is not afraid of these women. She comes in, she says it like it is, and she gets away with it. She pulls it off. She pulls off the teeny bikinis, she pulls off the slutty references, and she pulls it off because she's right a lot of the time.
And what's interesting is how the reunion itself is shifting our attitudes and how we feel about these women. You know, we may have hated one all season and then liked him in the reunion, like you said, Pamela, or we may have loved one all season or both seasons and then hated them in the reunion. And I don't think I need to spell this one out to tell you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Adrian. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I mean, I would be shocked if you didn't, but I don't know what is going on with Adrian in the reunion. I was talking to a friend today, and she goes, was Adrian just, like, PMSing on the day the reunion was shot? Because, honestly, she is normally the most down-to-earth girl. She always plays devil's advocate. She's so nice. And in part one, you know, I saw a little bad side of her with Lisa, and I thought, hey, maybe there's competition between her and Lisa. But then she's lashing out at Brandy. She's taking little jokes and little things way, way, way too seriously. And I'm wondering, what the heck is up with Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, I think we always turn to Adrian as sort of the level-headed, let me break up this discussion. There's no basis for what you're saying. And she's just always giving it to you straight. And I agree with you 100%, Mari, that I feel like on this reunion show, everybody's head is on the wrong body. I'm looking at somebody, their mouth is moving, their face looks like it belongs to their body, but it feels like it's for lack of a better term, it's a different character. It's not the Adrian that we know. It hasn't been the Camille that we've known for the whole season, but that's a separate thing that I know we're going to get into. And I just felt like, am I watching the same people that I've been watching for the last few weeks? Because they all seem, with the exception of maybe Brandy, actually, I have to say, they all seemed completely different to me, every single one of them.
Well, I have to agree on the Adrian front. I don't know if it was the women themselves or just the way they were with the other women that shocked me the most. I mean, Adrian's personality is certainly shocking, but as far as the other women on the panel, I think it was more who was treating who in certain ways that shocked me, that, you know, who versus who on the couches and all that. I think I was more surprised by that. But as far as Adrian goes, certainly I totally agree that she is coming off for the first time in a bad light to me, where I'm not liking her and I always like her. And that is so strange to me. I think her strong personality, I think I said this last week, and I'll say it again, her strong personality is coming off, you know, as B-I-T-C-H-E. I don't like to curse. You ladies know me by now. And I just can't believe it. I don't really know why all of a sudden, you know, when she was fighting with Lisa throughout the season, I thought it was forced. I didn't think there was really anything to it. But it seems like unless the producers are forcing this on them, it seems like there really is a divide, and I'm really shocked.
Do you think
maybe it was just something between her and Lisa. I thought, okay, like Adrian is having problems with Lisa. Maybe they're competitive. They live across the street from each other. They did. They both have a lot of money, and they tend to be competitive, like Kevin, the wedding planner, told me in our interview. But last night, her rage wasn't just at Lisa. It was at Brandy, too. When her and Brandy were talking, Brandy said, you know, I haven't even seen you since the show stopped taping. And she said, and she's fighting her on that. And then what bothered me the most, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but when they were talking about Brandy's teeny bikini and is it appropriate for her to be wearing that in front of married men, she was like, oh, well, there were only two husbands on the trip, you know, Kyle's and Lisa's. And then Adrian was like, my husband's there too. And then Brandy said something, like, she was joking, like, oh, yeah, well, you guys aren't really married, or said something like that. And she was like, no, no, honey, yes, we very much are. So, like, she, like, snapped at her kind of out of nowhere. Did you guys notice that?
I caught that. I noted it. And I honestly would have snapped exactly the same way. If somebody on national television, for whatever reason, even if it was a joke, I thought ill-placed and came out of no place from Brandy just to say, well, kind of like, well, your marriage doesn't really count. Like, you know what I mean. And maybe she meant it as a joke, but as a wife, I would have snapped. I might have snapped somebody's neck, too. I mean, I thought that was, like, so ridiculous what came out of Brandy's mouth. So I didn't mind that comment from Adrian, and I kind of love how she just kind of
that was the Adrian that we know who has the comment right away. But there were other moments, yes, that I agree. It was just, like I said before, I just felt like, here's this person, I know her, that's her face, but there's stuff coming out of her mouth that does not reflect what we've been seeing in the past.
I don't know. I'm not so, you know, loving Adrian for the snappy comment with the husband thing, because I feel like you could tell that Brandy didn't mean anything by it. And for her to come back at her like that, it just, to me, was way over the top. I mean, I understand what you're saying about defending your husband. I feel like she should have said something, but not to that degree in which she said it. I feel like she was very strong, and it was just a representation of the way she was the whole night.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jackie. I think that yeah, I understand what you're saying, Pamela, but she was just kind of joking, and normal Adrian wouldn't have snapped like that. I think normal Adrian would have, like, calmly, in a not snappy way, been like, oh, well, no, that's not true. Like, I don't know. She's normally so much nicer. But I do want to get into all the drama from last night. It started off with Ben discussing game night that no one can forget. I think that the game night of the season is the dinner party from hell of season one. I really think those two were, like, on the same level, or I guess the tea party we'll get into. But in terms of the game night, what I will say is I do give props to the women for owning up to their mistakes, and that's specifically Kyle and Lisa. Because Kyle, you know, she's being read all these emails from Andy about, you were such a mean girl, I didn't like that side of you. And she says, you know, she admits to being a bitch. She says she was on edge because of her sister. And then she sticks to her guns, though, when Brandy starts talking about the crystal meth comment, and I agree with Kyle. You know, that's how rumors start. Yes, obviously Kim was on something. Yes, she's in rehab now. So, yes, that was an astute observation to make, that she was in the bathroom all night and on drugs. But to say she was on crystal meth took it too far, and that's exactly how rumors start. So props to Kyle for apologizing where she needed to apologize and sticking to her guns where she needed to. And then props to Lisa for basically apologizing to Brandy, because Lisa wasn't there that night. She was only told secondhand from Kyle what went on. And then she was a bitch to Brandy outright just because of what Kyle had told her. And then it was so interesting that watching the show back, she realized that the girls were kind of attacking Brandy, and she apologizes to Brandy for being so mean. I thought that was A, very classy, and B, very, very, very indicative of what kind of relationship Lisa and Kyle have now. You're starting to see a break between the two of them. So I want to ask your opinion on Kyle and Lisa's reaction to their game night behavior and post-behavior. Pamela, what did you think?
I think I agree with you. I applaud Lisa for sort of standing up and saying, you know, I was standing by my friend's back. She told me something, and I believed her, because that's what friends do. But then, you know, like, I agree with you that she goes on and to be able to call Brandy or text Brandy or however they met up, and she said, you know, I'm really sorry that this went down, that I took somebody else's side. I didn't know the full story. I think it takes a really big person to do that. I don't know if it needed to be said at the reunion show, because now you know that she already did it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it sort of negates what she did a little bit by saying, like, oh, I was the big person, and I went and I said I was sorry. But I, you know, having now that we do know this information, I do applaud her. And I think there were a lot of moments where several of the ladies throughout the night said, you know what, I really am apologetic for what was said.
Yeah, I think for me, this was the best part of the reunion, actually, because for the most part, they really did own up to, you know, their actions really pretty accurately. And I totally agree that Lisa kind of calling it like it is and backtracking, and Kyle apologizing for certain things or owning up to certain things, even Brandy owning up to the fact that she shouldn't have used the words, you know, crystal meth or whatever. But I did have to agree with Brandy that, you know, where you're saying, Mari, that, you know, saying crystal meth puts it out there and that's how rumors start. It's not like Kim was sitting there perfectly fine and she said it. I mean, she obviously was on something. And, you know, for somebody to throw something out like that, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think still to this day
There's a huge difference between prescription pills and crystal meth. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I really do feel that way. I understand she was on something. And to say, leave it at that, you're on drugs. You're in the bathroom all night. You're on drugs. That would have been fine. But to say crystal meth launches a whole other accusation, that is not true.
Yeah, I have to agree with Mari on that. Is that it just, like, I think it was Kyle maybe who said it, is that now lingers everywhere. So it's an accusation that whether it's proven, you know, true or false, it's already out there, so it's in people's minds, and perception is everything. And these are all women who are...
And those two drugs have two totally different connotations. Yes, prescription pills and being addicted to that is terrible, but being addicted to crystal meth is like a whole nother level, I think.
I love that we're dissecting drugs.
Yeah, but you know what I have to say, though? Do any of you think... Like, did it put in any of your brains that she's doing crystal meth? Like, because her saying that, all I'm saying is I don't think Brandy put anything in my brain that wasn't in my brain about Kim. So that's what I'm saying about that comment. Obviously, saying those specific words is definitely a regret, and she says that. But I'm just saying, I do agree with Brandy that clearly she was right. Clearly Kim was on something, and yes, she did throw something out there, and she agreed to regretting that, but it's not the worst thing that she threw something out there, because let's face it, something was going on, and her saying that didn't make me think, oh, that's it, it's crystal meth. It just was calling out the situation. That's kind of how I saw it.
No, I understand what you're saying there. But I want to talk about, I thought it was so interesting how, Andy talks about game night, whatever. That probably should have been the extent of, like, the Brandy theme of the night. Except Brandy somehow kept getting inserted into every other little fight, because then Andy goes on to talk about Lisa and Taylor, which I'm glad he brought this up. Because all of us as viewers noticed this and how fake we thought it was, and we commented on this, how one week they're enemies at the tea party and the next week they're best friends. And so I'm glad that he brought it up. And even Camille admitted that she was surprised by the quick flip-flop, and the other women agreed to it too. You know, once they explained it, I understood. Basically, Lisa said, I felt that she was in an emotional crisis and it seemed better to turn it around. Like, you know, if she's like crying to me and in this emotional crisis, you know, I might as well just be her friend. And so, you know, I give props to Lisa again for, you know, buddying up to Taylor. Even if she wasn't her favorite person, it's easier to buddy up to her and to zip her lips and her British humor for a little bit if Taylor's really offended by that. But what I thought was so interesting about all of that is, like, Brandy all of a sudden inserts herself into it because... Like, it happened so fast, too. I think Taylor was talking about how she was offended that Lisa was using her Ziggy Twitter to call Taylor a blowfish. And then Brandy said, well, you call yourself a blowfish all the time. And then it was like, Taylor was like, I'm not talking to you. And then she was like, whoa, back off, Oklahoma. And I was like, oh, damn, shit is going down. And then all of a sudden it turned to Brandy and Adrian, because then Brandy outs Adrian for talking about Lisa behind her back. And I was like, oh, shit, shit's going down even more. And I don't know. It was like Brandy seriously stirred the pot in a simple conversation that could have just been about Lisa and Taylor, suddenly turned into Lisa versus Taylor versus Brandy versus Adrian and this whole big mess.
Yeah, I don't know what Brandy was doing there calling out Adrian. I mean, it was completely unnecessary. I mean, I didn't care for Adrian's response. She's like, what do you mean it's me? So that kind of made her seem a little bit guilty in my eyes, and you ladies tell me if you agree. But I didn't care for the way that Brandy called it out, because if it's something that happened behind closed doors, and granted, of course, we are watching a reality show about them, so there is no such thing really as closed doors. But I just felt like maybe she's fighting for her spot, and if she is, she's doing a damn good job. A damn good job, because I think that we can all agree she's probably going to be on that couch next year.
Yes, she's definitely inserting herself into everything. But, you know, I thought it was amazing. You mentioned that comment, Mari, about Taylor snapping at Brandy. I was, like, so taken aback by that. That's kind of what started off the whole Taylor Brandy thing. And, you know, I'm not sure how much I cared about Brandy outing Adrian, because Brandy seems to not really care whether Adrian likes her or not, or is mad at her or not. She doesn't seem to have any allegiance to her. So I don't think it, you know, that's Brandy's decision to make, to bring something up like that. And she seemed to be fine with it, so I'm fine with it. But I was more interested in the Taylor versus Brandy debate, which started with that big snap where that made me write in my notes, like, whoa, exclamation point, watch it, Taylor, like, major, major tension there. And so Brandy seems to be fine standing up against anybody that comes her way, though, I'll say that.
Yeah, it was crazy how the storyline kept turning back to her, because first they start talking about Lisa and Taylor, and then it goes into Brandy and Adrian, because Brandy adds Adrian all of a sudden, which I don't didn't so much have a problem with that. That really just made me not like Adrian more. And then she outs Adrian again, saying, because Adrian's like, why would you say that? We're friends. And then Brandy asks her again. She's like, we're not friends. We haven't talked since the show wrapped. We're not friends. And so, like, I like that Brandy kind of calls it how it is, and she's kind of showing me a side of Adrian I didn't know. But then Andy tries to, like, revert the conversation back to the Lisa Taylor argument, and then somehow Brandy brings it up again because she defends Lisa and says, you know, even when I was talking about Taylor off camera, you know, in a negative way, Lisa stood up for her. And then everyone was like, what do you mean? What were you saying? And then it got into the whole Russell debate. I really want to know what you guys think about this, because I don't think Brandy's lying. I do think Russell's lying, but I don't think Brandy's lying about her encounter. She claims that she saw Russell before he killed himself, and he told her off camera that Taylor told him to write the email to Camille, and that he always liked Camille and he didn't want to do it.
I don't buy it.
Don't know about how I feel about. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Brandy even bringing that up in the first place, because I don't know if it's appropriate, and I also don't think it's true at all. I 100% believe Taylor on this, that he's just kind of saying that to cover his own ass and throw his wife under the bus. I believe her that he was sending her these nasty texts when she was in Vegas, but she knew about the email, but maybe not the content of it. And at this point, I did feel bad for Taylor, because then she had to explain, hey, he is a master manipulator. I am in shitloads of lawsuits and financial troubles because of his master manipulation. Don't believe him. And you know what? I agree with Taylor here. But Brandy really did spice up a conversation that really, like, no one would have known about had she not brought that up.
Brandy wouldn't
have brought that up. No one would have known that. So Pamela, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mari. I thought it was probably for me the most tacky moment of the entire show. It was so absurd that she even brought it up, because at the end of the day, there has to be, again, you know, we are watching a reality show, of course, but there has to be some level of humanity and sensitivity to the fact that this person is deceased. Yes, his wife is here. Yes, she is on a reality show, but she's obviously dealing with a lot of issues that we don't all know about, legal, personal, emotional, you name it. I didn't think that needed to be brought up. I think anybody with a brain, anybody who's really thinking clearly, just realizes that it's obviously he's lying. He's trying to cover his own, you know, ass, pardon my French. And that's as far as my cursing goes, usually. I can't even stress how disgusted I was when that comment came out of her mouth. Ugh, horrible.
Well, let me say this. I agree that I do believe Russell went and said this to Brandy and was totally lying. And Taylor, you know, obviously saying about the text messages the next day, and she, yes, she's a master manipulator and she's getting sued by tons of people. Totally agree. Totally right on. That's exactly what I saw from this. He was a total liar. Said this to Brandy. I do believe he said it. I do believe he was lying. But let me say this. Ladies, in normal circumstances, if you're bringing this up about somebody's private life, yes, that would be distasteful and tacky on Brandy's part. But we're coming off of a woman who has displayed all of this and made it everyone's business, as Brandy liked to say, and has put no value on privacy and closed doors and anything like that with this Russell case. She goes on to talk about suspecting it being a murder on the reunion. So when you say that, how can you call Brandy out for bringing something up when it's clear that she's made it the world's business, which Brandy later says, and I totally agree. In normal circumstances, that would be wrong of Brandy, but when Taylor's acted the way she has and put the things on camera she has, Brandy has every right to say that.
I'm just going to quickly interject for a second. I still think what you say about yourself is one thing. When I put my you know, foot in the door, if you will, on your private life in that manner, it's my fault. I think it's Brandy's fault. You have to, she should have, it just should never have come out of her mouth. It could have stayed with her forever. It should have never been shared with Taylor. It certainly shouldn't have been shared on the reunion show. And nobody would have been the wiser. It was just completely unnecessary. I hear you 100%, Jackie, and I know you've been saying it all season long about Taylor sharing everything, but I don't know. I agree with you,
Pamela, that it's like the nobody would be the wiser situation. There's enough drama that the cameras do catch that did Brandy really have to throw this in there. But I will say she really spiked up the reunion show because then, again, what started out as a question Andy asked about Lisa and Taylor then went into Brandy and Taylor. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but I felt like Kyle was fighting Taylor's battle because when Taylor throws at Brandy, oh, well, you slashed your husband's tires. And then Brandy throws at Taylor, oh, well, you came out with a book about your husband and his suicide way too fast. And, you know, Taylor sticks up for herself and she says, you know, 3 women a day die domestic violence. You know, this is, you know, to help them. You want your weight. And, you know, I thought that was an appropriate response. But I felt like at that point, Taylor could handle her own speech. She responded well, but then Kyle jumps in there and fights her battle for her, which I can't stand surprised by, but I don't know how I feel about that. It's like, somebody died here. You don't judge someone until you walk in their shoes. She's a single mom with a husband who killed herself. How dare you? And, you know, she all of a sudden takes up this fight. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. At this point, in the couches, on one side, it's Kyle, Taylor, and Adrian. And on the other side, it's Lisa, Camille, and Brandy. And the way the couches were actually very much reflected the way the sides were, you know, in terms of the drama.
That is very interesting in terms of how they sort of separate the couches. And I want to comment on that, too. But in terms of going quickly back to Kyle, he wasn't just fighting Taylor. I had feeling it. Tell me if you ladies felt the same way. Was she also fighting for airtime?
I can see that. I mean, you, like you said, she was fighting to secure her spot in season 3.
Mm-hmm. That's just what I was thinking. But and going back, Mari, to what you said about the couches, it was very interesting. Again, it just goes back to what I said before. I just feel like I see their faces. Their mouths are moving, but I just feel like the wrong, you know, material coming out of people's mouths. And we saw that in terms of how the couches were separated this time. Who would think that Lisa and Kyle would not be, quote unquote, sitting on the same couch, right? Or Adrian wouldn't be able to sit next to anybody because she's so wonderful usually with everybody. It was a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. Let me know if you can. But I certainly felt like the couches were symbolic of the divide between the women, and I was surprised by it. As far as Kyle jumping in to fight Taylor's battle, she really should have kept her mouth shut because this is where Kyle tends to get on my nerves when she jumps in like this. Yes, somebody died here, but you should turn to your, what would it be, her left, and say that to Taylor, because she's the one who put it on TV and put it in a book and put it in all these things. So if you're going to open your big mouth, Kyle, I would say be more accurate about it. And I don't like the way she came down on Brandy, and I don't think it was her business to jump in there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jackie. I don't think it was her business to jump in there. Taylor was handling it fine. She was answering Brandy's accusations about the book, and I don't think that Kyle needed to jump in there. You know, that's what she does, though. If there was one word to describe her in a nice way, I guess it would be loyal. But then finally, after Brandy keeps interjecting herself over and over again, Andy gets his questions back on track. I felt like these women kept stealing the mic from Andy. I don't know how he is able to control the girls and, like, get the show in and under an hour. But brings it back to Kim and Kyle, which I know we'll see more of this next week when Kim actually sits down. But what I thought was so interesting about this is he said, do you think seeing herself on the show contributed to her knowing she had a problem? And Kyle says, to be honest with you, she doesn't even watch the show. I don't find that hard to believe. But what I found so hard to believe and so shocking and kind of sick was that Kyle admits that she thought it would be a good idea for Kim to be on the show knowing and being well aware that her sister has substance abuse problems, because she claims, A, it would give her something outside of her children, and then, B, that it would keep her on track. And I was just really disgusted by that, and I'm not the only one. Because I got a couple of tweets about this last night, and one of them tweeted, Headless Gal said, I think Kyle really meant it would be a paycheck for Kim since her $20,000 monthly child support has dried up. I'm really shocked that Kyle would actually think it would be a good idea to have her sister on the show.
I mean, I agree with you, Mari. It was a very strange when she said, I think it will be good for Kim. She's going to have responsibility, and like you said, outside of her kids. But maybe there really was some logic when she thought about it. You know, I'm going to maybe see her more, and I'm going to see her on a regular schedule, and she's going to have to be here and do this, and she'll meet some new people. So maybe she really does. I think, because, I mean, being a sister also, I think she definitely came from a good place. Whether it was the right choice or not, I mean, who knows? Perhaps maybe if she wasn't on the show and she didn't see what was happening, maybe Kim would be able to, as we see, obviously, next when she says that she is, in fact, an alcoholic. So who knows? Maybe in some bizarre way, the show has actually helped her. And in that case, Kyle would be onto something.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting comment from Kyle, because I couldn't really explain what I felt really explained him being on the show. I think it's what it comes down to is whatever she says, her reasoning is or not, it's an opportunity to be on television, and most people will jump on it, and she probably, you know, was offered for her and her sister to be on it, and they jumped on it. I think it's just as simple as that, really, if you want to break it down. Yeah, what I also thought was interesting is that Andy asked her very frankly, you know, everyone knew Kim had a substance abuse problem, but everyone kept quiet, and is that wrong? Because, you know, everyone ended up talking about Taylor's domestic abuse on camera, but no one would talk about Kim's substance abuse. It was like the elephant in the room. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but Kyle basically said there's certain things that are meant to be dealt with off camera. But I don't know if I agree with that answer. You're putting all her problems on camera. Like, why wouldn't you want to discuss the, like, solutions or get to the root of the problem on camera? I don't know. I don't know about that.
No, it's actually a very good point, Mari. Here we are. We can't mention somebody who's drinking, but we can't mention somebody who's just, there's a lot of other questions around how that went down, and obviously the abuse that Taylor experienced with her husband. So it was full of its strength, because they really never fully get into it. Perhaps we'll see what happens next week, but for two seasons, they never really discussed Kim's problem. They've always flirted in little comments here and there. Yet, Kim's life and what has happened with Russell has been a complete open book. So it really doesn't make any sense.
the thing with Kyle and Kim is, like I just said, they got the opportunity and they jumped on it. But coming from some position where I've been on reality television, I think the most important advice I could share is for anybody who's going to go on reality television, and you'd be surprised, a lot of people don't do this. Case in point, Kyle and Kim, they probably thought they could go on there and hide Kim's substance abuse and think they could get away with it, because you don't realize how much you're really going to have to expose yourself. So my thing, whenever I consider in the past going on a reality show, or my advice to anybody who does go on a reality show, is to think to yourself, what do I have to hide? What would I not want to get exposed? And if you have anything that's a big answer to that question, you shouldn't do it. And I think that's probably just something they thought they could get away with not showcasing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. And it's like, if you're going to show the effects and the downside of the substance abuse problem, then at least show people talking about it honestly and frankly. And then he gets into me all last season versus this season. And I actually love this discussion, because to me, this is the elephant in the room. To me, you know that, you know, Jackie, I hated Camille last season, absolutely hated her. And then slowly this season I came around. Even the first couple after shows we did, I still didn't like her and I wasn't buying it. And so he asked, how do you explain such a big change? And she blames it all on, oh, you know, last year I was going through a divorce and everything. But then I love how he calls her out on it. He's like, come on, like, you're going to hang the whole thing on that? And he says, I think you made a calculated effort to shut down more. And he claims on it, and I'm glad he did, because then finally she admits, yeah, I made a conscious effort to avoid all the drama. And she admits that she hid in the bathroom at game night and at the Malibu party. Like, she hid in the bathroom both nights just to, like, not be involved with the drama. So definitely was a calculated effort on her part.
Yeah, but I don't know if she calculated it so well, because I would guess that there's a lot of people on the back end of Bravo deciding whether or not she's back. Because if you're hiding in the bathroom, you're not engaging in whatever drama, or you're not creating any drama. So there's a way to be on shows, and I'm going to pick up my favorite Housewives any franchise, I think, from New Jersey, Caroline Manzo. She doesn't hide from any. But she also comes out smelling like roses most of the time, I believe. So there's a place where Kim can find a balance, and maybe season three she will, and I don't think it's bathrooms. I don't think that's going to get her on to season three.
Well, that is the question. You know, is it too, has she been reserved too much? But as you know, Mari, we've talked about this all season, and I knew you were going to love this part of the reunion, because I'm not so abreast on season one. I just know Camille from meeting her and watching season two, and I love her. Now, not having really been brushed up on Camille, season one Camille, I have to say, as a viewer, I like having her on there. Sure, she's not bringing it like a Brandy or, you know, anybody else, but you know what? She's somebody, I think, that has this air to her that she is one of the most prestigious, I feel like, women on the show. She can get away with this. I don't think they cut her from the show, but it is a risk that she takes by downplaying the drama. But of course she comes off looking better, so it does, you have to weigh one in one hand and one, you know, one side of the coin versus the other. You know, is it worth the risk of not being asked back? But I think she will stick around.
I don't think that her playing it safe is going to cost her a spot next season, only because I still think people want to know what's going on with her just being single again. I mean, they talked to her about Kelsey and the new Greek boyfriend, and I think people are interested in that. I was. You know, I love that the show gets more ratings than Kelsey's. You know, it's sad that she still doesn't even talk to Kelsey, even though she wants to. And I love that she's dating this hot guy and you're younger than her. So there still is something interesting that I think fans want to watch with her. And I want to get to this last segment that Andy talked about before we go into news and gossip and predictions. And he kind of brought it back to Taylor again, and the book and the abuse. Basically, like she had said already to Brandy, when Brandy said he brought out the book too soon, which, by the way, just so everyone knows, I'll have a little bit more about this in news and gossip, but the book does come out today. So how fitting that they're talking about the book so much last night as it comes out today. But she basically said, I thought girls with low self-esteem could use a little bit of a boost. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with her writing the book necessarily. A, she needs the finances to support her child. And B, you know, for if other women were scared to admit that they're in a domestic abusive relationship and this will help them a little bit, I have no problem with that, raising awareness. I really don't. And, you know, hearing everything that she talked about last night was so sad that the abuse started when she was pregnant and it's been going on every 6 weeks or so. And, you know, he asked, why didn't you report it? And she said she was threatened. And, you know, he said, I'll bankrupt you. And then she knew that he'd get visitation alone with Kennedy. And, you know, it really shows an honest and frank discussion about what it's like for a woman in that terrible, terrible situation. I couldn't even imagine. And then, you know, she talks about Russell's death very frankly, about how he left briefcases with files she never even knew about and all the legal and financial trouble she's in. And I thought she stayed pretty calm and pretty strong throughout this entire conversation. And I applaud her. You know, she stayed strong. And she's raising awareness and helping others. I really do feel that way.
I don't mind the book. And I think, very unfortunate, of course, she does have a platform. And if she's going to be able to turn that into a positive, that's a wonderful thing. And also, and I mean, I'm trying not to go into something wallet, but with everything that we hear about her lawsuit, she does need a pretty penny. It's really an unfortunate situation, but you know, the book will also help her sustain a life. Again, I don't know what she has left over, either from Russell or what she had from her own pocket or her own businesses, but certainly doing the book and staying on the show is really going to give her some financial security.
You ladies know how I feel about Taylor. I don't agree. I don't think that's why she's doing it, and that's what I don't like about it. I don't think it's because she's trying to be brave and have women, you know, raise awareness for women. I think she's strictly doing it for the money, and you know what? It's a cheap way to get money. I just, there's nothing I like about this, and I'm not changing my opinion on that based on last night. So she was controlled for the first time probably this whole season, that doesn't make me change my opinion of her. Yeah. I will say, I applaud her for using her platform to raise awareness, but no, it doesn't change my opinion of Taylor and just how I feel about her in general. But let's go to a quick commercial break so we can get back to some news and gossip and predictions for the final installment of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so as I mentioned, Taylor's book is out. So if anyone wants to read it, it's called Hiding from Reality. first up, she apparently had a book signing scheduled in New Jersey today, and ahead of the book signing, someone was threatening her life on Twitter. It turned out it was a New Jersey tween and sent her direct messages along the lines of, I will kidnap you with a rope at your book signing in New Jersey, and then alluded to killing Kennedy, and police got involved and investigated it. So apparently there was some heavy security at her book signing. But we got some more excerpts from her book. She basically said that Russell told her that sleeping with her was like sex with a skeleton. She says in the book, he would make comments when we were sexual, and you know, about my weight. No woman needs to be criticized in that moment. Criticisms about having sex with me is like having sex with a skeleton. She did say, I love him to this day, miss him terribly. I got out way too late. I hope by others hearing the story, they may get out sooner. When I wrote Hiding from Reality, I wanted it real and honest. Some of it was difficult to write, and she explains that physical abuse, sometimes verbal abuse, is worse. But she says, I think you can see my eye has healed, but these things are going to stick with me for a long time, and sometimes the emotional can hurt worse than the physical, almost. You know, as we just talked about, at least she's using her platform to raise awareness.
Honestly, why do we need to hear about her being called a skeleton and their sexual, you know, how is that helping women? I just don't understand how that's, you know, I just don't agree with this at all. I don't feel like this is a good idea.
I'm going to stick with sort of a good halo here and say that this could help people, because if you see somebody going through it and now you've read their book and maybe they have the courage to leave your situation, or even better that, recognize the situation at the very beginning and run the other way.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I don't love Taylor, and I think that she is kind of a game whore and doesn't handle things well. But I do think that the book could help people who find themselves in a similar situation. But I do want to talk about our next piece of news and gossip, because we've been talking about this all season long, alluding to this news and gossip. So Lisa Vanderpump, her spinoff, apparently it didn't get picked up. So this is good news for us, because she'll most likely definitely be on season 3. She's not going to have a spinoff. It was a pilot based on the restaurant she owns, Villa Blanca Store, but Bravo decided not to pick it up for a full series. I guess she was hoping to follow in the footsteps of Bethany, but they didn't like it. But yes, the rumors are continuing that Sly Stallone's wife could be joining the show. You know, it hasn't been confirmed if she will, but Bravo producers definitely asked her. I would have watched the spinoff, but I'm glad to see Lisa in her, like, normal element with all these women. As long as she's on season 3, I don't mind that there wasn't a spinoff.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's everybody maybe spoke a little too soon and they didn't pick it up, and that's disappointing. But, you know, I like Lisa in the group, so it's probably disappointing for her. I would have watched it, but it just is what it is. How many pilots get made and don't get picked up? And I'm still, by the way, I'm still waiting to get an update from Sylvester Stallone's wife. You know, my family knows her, so I am trying to get an update exclusively for us. I hope to get one by the time we wrap this season next week.
Ooh, that is gossip.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen Kevin again, because apparently he was helping to shoot the pilot, but hopefully we'll see him again in season 3. And then in my final bit of news and gossip, Kyle Richards sat down for an interview, and she said on returning for a third season, she said, quote, since Bravo has not announced a third season yet, we're all just taking the time to think if it's something we want to do because of what we've all been through. Yes, there are some good things that come with it, but it's a big price to pay being on a show like this. It's something you really have to think long and hard about. I'll have to sit down with my family and make it a family decision. There was more drama than we needed this year. And that's an understatement. There was definitely more drama than they needed, but that's basically all because of Taylor and Kim. And I think if the show comes back for season 3, Taylor and Kim will not be coming back. So there will be drama, but not that level of drama.
I respect her for thinking she's going to stick with her family and make it a decision. Because I think that her whole family in particular has really been through a lot. So I feel like if she's offered, she might come back, particularly if her sister isn't there. Because it could be more, maybe what she dreams it to be, a little bit more lighthearted. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for a drama soap season, but not the way it was this season. And I don't think it will be. I mean, it's kind of impossible to repeat what happened this season. And I certainly hope that Taylor and Kim wouldn't return to prevent that kind of drama from continuing.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. We'll follow up on, you know, who's coming back for season 3, who's not. But I'm pretty sure Kyle's there to stay. But let's get into some final predictions for the very last after show we will be doing for the season next week, which is for the final week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so it seems like the conversation with Taylor continues and her talking about her abuse, and it's very sad, but once again, I'm going to stick to it. She's using her platform to share her story, and if it helps women, then it helps women. What I'm most excited for is Dana, because I really wasn't sure if they were going to bring her back at all. I mean, they talked about her a little bit in part one, and I was like, is she coming back at all? And this is really, really not a good sign for her coming back next season, that she's not in a reunion at all. But finally she comes back. I mean, it's interesting they chose to bring Brandy back before they brought Dana back. I don't think we're going to see that much drama with Dana. Like, they talk about the sunglasses and whatever, her comments. I think it'll just be more fun and lighthearted. And honestly, at this point, that's what I'm looking forward to. What do you guys think?
A little bit of a Dana break. Or break with Dana, rather. I want to hear about, like, the million-dollar lollipop and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she obviously won't bring drama, but that's why we liked her, because she brings that Dana sort of schoolgirl silliness of, like, trying to be the cool girl with all the other popular girls. And I feel like we'll get some of that next week, and so I'm just waiting for that refreshing moment. And, of course, I'm so curious to see, you know, Kim's one-on-one. And, you know, the more the merrier. Everybody's sitting around. There's plenty to be said. And I feel like there'll be light moments, and then there'll be the Kim section, which will be very dramatic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You see Kyle and Kim. And when they first showed the previews, I thought it was just Kim and Andy. But Kyle is sitting next to her, from what I saw in last night's previews. And Kim does look like she's come out of rehab. Like, her face is a little more, like, puffy. She's definitely gained weight because she's not on drugs anymore. But it looks like it'll be a very frank conversation, because she admits for the first time, she says in her own words, I am an alcoholic. I still don't think it's a good idea for someone that fresh out of rehab to agree to do a reunion show like this. I'll see how she stands up, but I right now I'm thinking it's too soon and not good for her treatment.
Yeah, I agree. It's too soon for her. I think it'll make interesting television, but I don't know if it was a good idea to do that at this point.
I think it's just a good wrap-up, and I feel like, obviously for the audience, of course, but I feel like, who knows, sometimes saying, you know, I have a problem, saying it to as many people as possible can help. So just hearing her say that alcoholic, huge.
Yeah, no, I
see.
I see that. I just don't know. I think it was too soon. But we'll see you next week. But thank you, girls, again, for both joining me. Quickly before we go, I want you to share the information of where our AfterBuzz listeners can catch the two of you for Fashion Week. So, Jackie, why don't you give us all the details on that?
Yes, absolutely. We will be, of course, you'll find everything on AfterBuzzTV.com, but Pamela and I had the honor of attending a few fashion shows this week during New York Fashion Week starting tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned to Twitter and AfterBuzzTV.com to get all the New York Fashion Week scoop, and we're excited to share it.
And follow us.
All right, so you guys will have to all listen to that and stay tuned next week for our very final Roby after show for this season. And have a good night, everyone.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.